that we'll be using and taking a thought and asking you to pray for us while we try to stand and declare the Word of God tonight, that we all might learn and grow, that we might receive the instructions from God's Word. The passage of Scripture that we have tonight on our heart is as true today as it ever was. In fact, I can say that about all of the Word of God, but especially this passage of Scripture. And as we read it, I want you to relate it to the time in which we live in right now. He says in Luke 23, let's read 27 and 28 if it be all right. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Just those two verses. Reasons we ought to weep. Reasons we ought to weep. They were weeping because of what was happening to our Lord and our Savior. They was weeping and lamenting over, no doubt, that they was taking away their Lord and their Savior. And also because of all that they had seen him go through with the scourging and the trials and him about to be crucified. In fact, he had been crucified. And when he saw them and heard their crying and lamenting, he said unto them, Weep not for me. He knew he was going to a better place. He knew that this was the reason for which he came into this world. And he knew that it would soon be over. They only saw what was right there. He wasn't excited about this day. He was about to be crucified. He wasn't excited about that, but he knew in 3 days, I'll rise again. And then I'll get to go home to be with Dad and all the angels and the saints that are there awaiting me. But he knew that they would be left behind, and their trouble was just beginning. Imagine where we would be without God in our life. He knew that he was about to leave and that Jerusalem and all of the Jews was in a terrible place. Because you see, if you go back to Lamentations in the first chapter, you will read that it was prophesied that in 70 AD, Titus would come and destroy the temple. And also, Jews would be killed. Some of them would be crucified. He knew that was coming, that awful day was coming. But he also knew that there was a day coming that you and I would open this book and read this scripture. And he would say to us, men and women, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. Today in our society, there's many reasons that we ought to be weeping like we've never wept before. You look around us at all the things that's happening, and we see so much turmoil and so much that used to that mom and dads didn't weep over because it wasn't lawful. But now it's lawful and things are changing at warp speed that our forefathers didn't weep over because it wasn't lawful. But today we weep over them because we see all these things are culminating the end of our life as we know it. And the Lord's going to come in the clouds and take us out of this sin-filled world and home to be with Him. We're living in a time when we ought to be weeping every time a baby is killed in the womb of its mother. We ought to be weeping because not only in the womb, but now it's legal in some states for them, even at the time of delivery, for them to kill that precious child. Take its life as if it's nothing. But you know what the Bible teaches us tonight, church? That God will have recompense. God will have recompense. That in the Old Testament, under the law, the Lord gave it to them and said it like this, that if a man was to strike a woman that was with child and she would lose that child, it would require his life for that child's. Wouldn't you hate to see what kind of a payday is going to come for all these that's been killed, murdered? They say, well, it's a fetus. No, God says it's a child. And if God says it's a child, it's a child. Amen? It ought to grieve us every time that a marriage ends in divorce. It ought to just break our hearts. And they say, well, it's just us. It doesn't affect anybody else. It affects everybody in your circle. It affects the children. It affects the grandchildren. It affects the family, the brothers, the sisters, the whole family. And it ought to grieve us. But instead of grieving us, we say, well, he didn't deserve her, or she didn't deserve him. She was mean. He was mean. We're all mean. And can I get an amen? There ain't none of us deserve the one we got. I didn't hear a woman once say amen. None of us deserve what God has given to us. Ain't that right, Matt? There we go. It ought to grieve us every time we look at society and we see these kids doing the heinous crimes and things that they're doing, that where we hear that even in the young kids are having sex at such a young age and experimenting with drugs and alcohol, it ought to grieve us when we hear of that. Where is the innocence gone? Satan has come and just destroyed it, taking it out to where innocence is gone. And even recently, you know as well as I that California passed a law to where it is legal now for a 24-year-old man to have a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old child. It's legal. Where is the uproar from the church? Instead, we don't grieve. We don't cry. We don't seek the Lord. We look at all these things that's going on. And the church sits by and says there's nothing we can do. When we are wrong, God didn't call us to be protesters on the streets. We have the most powerful tool there is against all these that Satan is bringing against us, and that is the tool of prayer, calling on God. But yet, it ought to grieve us that many don't even know how to pray. Because unless they have a book or they use somebody else's prayer, they don't know what prayer really is. Prayer is not how many words you can put together. It's not how good it may sound. Prayer is from the depths of your heart. What is really upon your heart? You remember a few years ago, I preached a message here that God laid on my heart. And the title of that message was, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask Him for? What would you ask him for? What grieves us to the point that we say, God, no matter what it takes, would you touch my child? Would you touch my spouse? Would you touch my loved one and get their attention? And we say, but we don't want God to turn to that point to where they may be flat on their back. How many of you remember moms and dads in the church house saying, Lord, if it takes you putting them flat on their back, get their attention? See, our forefathers knew how to pray. And they were grieved when they seen this stuff. I remember it used to be hush-hush whenever there was a problem in the family. When, especially if somebody was having marital problems, they didn't talk about it. They sure didn't put it out on Facebook. Right? The old saying was, you don't put all your laundry out for everybody to see it. They were trusting in God and praying for it to be fixed, and they would weep over it. We ought to weep today when we look around the church and we say, where are the children? Where are the children? Where's that missing generation at tonight? We say, well, we just can't get them to come to church. And it's partly because Satan has got so much out there for them. And church has become boring. That's why we have so many churches that has the light shows and the smoke machines and the loud music and the presentation. It's entertainment. People say, didn't y'all have entertainment when y'all was growing up? Yes, we had the movement of the Holy Spirit in the church. And if that didn't entertain us enough and we got a little out of line, we got entertained by the belt or the switch. It ought to grieve us that there's no discipline anymore. I've often joked about it that I wish when I was growing up, Brother Lloyd, that we had a timeout. But I'm thankful that we didn't. And we had old-fashioned discipline. Whatever mom had in her hand, Sister Lisa, that's what she would use. If it was a broomstick or a spatula, whatever she had, that's what happened. Or if she had time, we get a switch. How many of you ever cut your own switch? Okay. And they say they love you. Lloyd talked about a razor strap. Horse whip. And people said his dad was mean. No, his dad loved him. We're weeping for all the wrong reasons. People today don't know what the Lord was talking about here. But I believe we ought to weep when we look around and we see empty pews in the church house. I said before, where are the children? Where are the people that say they love God? Now, we have a lot that are sick. And I know in this pandemic that we're in that a lot of people are still being cautious, and I can say that, you know, everybody has to make their own choice. But if it was my choice, the pews would be full. We can wear a mask. We'll be weeping that people have lost their desire to go to church. I believe that if you've been born again, there is something within you that come church time, you want to be there. Amen. Instead of looking for an excuse not to go to church, you ought to have an excuse to go to church. That I've been born again. And I want to try to worship him one more time. It ought to grieve us when people come in the house of God and we know they've never professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they walk out lost as they was when they came in. It ought to grieve us, Lloyd, because the scripture says that lost won't be able to sit in the presence of God, in the house of God. But yet, they come and they walk out like nothing ever happened. It ought to grieve us when someone hears the word of God and rejects him, because that might be their last opportunity. You say, well, God owes us. God owes us nothing. He's given us a measure of faith, and if we don't use that measure of faith, we'll be turned over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind. It ought to grieve us that sin has a louder voice in our country than God's word does. I just saw this week where the Southern Baptists are contemplating taking Southern off of their name because it might offend somebody. I've never seen so many thin-skinned people in all of my life. Everything hurts their feelings. You know what they say to us when we were coming up in life? They'd say, grow up. Grow up. Especially if you're over 18, you're an adult now. Grow up. But instead, we just keep rubbing them on the back of the head saying it's all right. It ought to grieve us that everything is all right. Amen? Everything is all right. And there's pulpits across this land that are standing up telling people that it's all right for you to do whatever you feel like is good, because you are a God within yourself. And if it feels right, it can't be wrong. How many of us know sin feels right? The Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's pleasure in it. But the end is destruction. Jim, we ought to grieve us that it seems like everything in the world is centered around sin, while God's house sits empty. That ought to grieve us. I was excited when they talked about canceling the basketball and football seasons for the pros. I thought that would give people one less reason not to go to church. But even with everything going on, they're still having the ball games. And I say, how many of us today, look what they're doing in some of these ball games. They're telecasting them, so they're taking cardboard cutouts of people and putting people's faces on them and setting them in the stands, and people are sitting at home watching it. How many of y'all watch the I don't know what it was called, when we put it on the air from here at the church back in the beginning? It wasn't the same as being here, was it? How grievous that we have come to this in our lifetime. I never thought we'd see the day like we're living in now. You say, Roger, this is Wednesday night. Why you want to preach so depressing? Well, blame God. He gave me the thought. And it ought to grieve us that so many people are blaming God for so many things in their life. They blame God. They blame the school system. They blame mom and dad. They blame the workplace. They blame everything around them. You know, whatever happened to you, make the choice, you make the decision, you do the act, you're responsible for it. But no, we can blame somebody else for it. Well, every one of us could blame somebody, because many of us grew up and had rough spells in our life. Am I preaching the truth? We could say it was their fault. But you know, God says, it's your fault. I'm thankful that in the Old Testament, he said he would lay the sins of the father upon the children. But in the New Testament, he said that he would no longer require the sins of the father upon the children. I say thank you, Lord, for that. Don't you? I say thank you, Lord. It ought to grieve us that we come to church and can hardly get an amen, or that's right, or a hand in the air. God has blessed us so much that we've taken our praise out of the church house. I guarantee you this, how many of you, when you go and watch your kids or grandkids, are quiet in the stands if they're playing a sport or doing something on a stage or some type of contest? I've told you before, I'll embarrass you, because I love my kids and I like to see them do good, don't you? It ought to grieve us that the only thing that matters anymore is where you live, what kind of vehicle you drive, who you associate yourself with, and what kind of person that you might be in your own eyes. That's where we're at as a society, and even in our churches today. I say, we ought to be like David. Doesn't matter where I live. Doesn't matter, like John the Baptist, doesn't matter what we wear. And you know, I've thought about this in times past. What would y'all think if I wore the same suit every service? You know, as long as it's clean, we look on the outside. Some of you may not even notice. I wear a suit here every once in a while, and so people look at me and say, did you get a new suit? I say, no, I've had this for a long time. But, you know, some people don't notice. Others do. It ought to grieve us that we're more worried about how we look on the outside than how we are on the inside. You know, we're a bunch of Pharisees. We clean up the outside and let the inside be filthy. Let's clean up. Let's let God. Let's get God to clean up the inside, and the outside will clean itself up. Amen. People say, y'all look like a Christian. What does a Christian look like? What do they really look like? You can't tell just with your eyeballs. You got to listen to them. You got to follow them. And see if it holds true over time. Because I say this tongue in cheek, so to speak. Anybody can look like one for a short period of time. But how many of them prove that they are over the long spell? How many people do we know that have come to these altars and prayed and said they got saved, and now they're nowhere to be found? No desire to go to church. It grieves me when I see people that just come every once in a while. It grieves me when I see people that come only when there's trouble. It grieves me when I see people come just because a certain person or a certain group is going to be there. I didn't come to worship a person or a group. I come to worship the Lord. Jesus was telling these ladies, you're grieving over me now, but if only you knew what you and your children were going to go through, you'd be weeping for yourself. How many of us tonight have laid upon our bed and the tears fall? Nobody knows what we're weeping about. It's between us and God. I think we as a church, and I'm talking about the church of the living God, that we weep more over carnal things than we do spiritual things. And God is saying, if we'll weep over the spiritual things, he'll take care of the carnal things. Has God ever let you down? And he never will. God was telling, or the Lord was telling them, Ray, there's a day coming very shortly that things that you never dreamed of is going to become reality. And then I'll move forward and then I'll close. How many of us know what the end of the book says? The end of the story. The Lord said, when all these things you see shall come to pass, then look toward the eastern sky. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. It ought to grieve us that nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. But how many of you know the signs are all in alignment and the Lord could come at any time? Any time. People say, well, the Antichrist hasn't come yet. Read your book. There are even Antichrist amongst us. Christ had one walking with him, did he not? It ought to grieve us that we can't tell the difference between God's spirit and man's spirit. The Lord is coming. But before that awful day of the Lord shall come. And why is it called awful? It's that great day of the Lord shall come. We will experience things. You think it's bad now? If God tarries his son coming back to get the church, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we're going to get to the point to where I believe the gospel will become very valuable to a few. To a few. And the majority of people will die and go to hell. It ought to grieve us every time we hear of somebody leaving this world without God. Preachers stand up and say, well, there's hope that sometime before they got that call, they called upon the Lord to save them. That's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. We ought to let everybody know for sure that we're ready. For sure we're ready. And we ought to try to get everyone in before the door closes. Because it's about to wrap up. Ray talked about the hurricane down in Florida. Look at our world today. We got wildfires in California that's destroying the forest out there. And they said we got part of the smoke here. That's part of the why we got such a haze. And some of the smoke is going even around the globe. And some people want to say that's because of the environment of the world. I forget what it's called. Climate, there we go. Well, they know it was an arsonist that set the fire. But see, we put things to our own tune to justify our own arguments. How many of us, and I'll close, have said our child, our person, our friend needs to get saved, but they're a good person. They're a good person. Good persons is not good enough. They need to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we justify they don't feel good. I tell you, if we wasn't bleeding or had a broke bone, we was in the church house. You say, but you had a cough, you had a cold. Didn't matter. There was no fever, you're going to church. Same thing with school. Mom said, you ain't staying home. How many of you grew up and there was no excuse? Right? Have we become too soft? Some of you say, I'm going to go home and tell my kids what he preached on. It ought to grieve us where we're at today. And I ask you tonight, does it grieve you? Does it grieve you? Really? I mean, down in your soul, does it grieve you? And what can we do about it? We can spread the word. Jesus is coming. He's coming. And we better get our people in before that great day of the Lord shall come. To us that's saved, it's going to be homecoming. To those that are left behind, it's going to be like we don't even have the words to describe how bad it's going to be. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Would you pray with us as we close? Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and for your spirit. I thank you, God, that you warned us about these things that would come to pass. And Lord, here we stand in the middle of it. God, I ask you tonight to look down upon us and help us, Lord, that we would be as concerned as our forefathers were about people and their soul and where they're going to spend eternity.